November 7th, 1993, and it's a pleasure for me to be here at Annunciation Priory in Bismarck. This is Michael M. Miller, the Germans from Russia bibliographer at North Dakota State University in Fargo. And I'm here with Sister Reinhard Hecker, and it was a pleasure that we had a chance to meet you earlier in October of 93 when Peter Hilkes from the East European Institute was here in Bismarck and spoke at the University of Mary, and at that time I thought it was important that we come back because we wanted to be sure and visit with Sister Reinhard, who was born in the former Soviet Union. First of all, Sister, give me your full name, date of birth, and where you were born.
I was born in Russia, in München, Munich. March 14, 1901.
And your name was Sister Reinhard Hecker.
No, it's now. My name was Minnie.
How was that?
Minnie Hecker.
How do you spell that?
M-I-N-N-E.
That was the full name.
That was my. But when we entered the convent, that we get different names.
Right. So your baptismal name was Minnie.
Was Minnie.
Was that shortened for some other name?
What, Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina, of
yeah.
course. Yes, Saint yeah. Wilhelmina.
Yeah.
And you were born in what date?
March 1901.
March, what was your birth date? March
14th.
March 14th, 1901.
Yeah, correct.
And you were born in the village of München,
yeah.
which I think was located near Odessa?
About 40 miles from Odessa.
40 kilometers?
About. Yes.
Right.
Yes. And the next village was Rastatt. That was the next village, was just an alley between then, and the next village started.
Right. Now, the village of München, was that primarily a Catholic village?
That's all Catholic. There were no Lutherans with us, and no Russians were allowed to live in that village, you know.
Now,
the Germans kept it all by themselves.
Right. If you were born in 1901, and you left at the age of 13. Did you speak only German?
Well, we took Russian in school, but we had German teachers, and they did not insist on us speaking Russian. So when the children went out to play, everything is German.
But in the classroom, it
was? In the classroom, only for the Russian language, we could speak German. The rest, they had reading and writing, arithmetic and all that. That was all in German.
All in German. So you had German teachers?
Yeah, we had German teachers.
Let's go back to the village and talk a little bit about your family and so forth. What was the name of your father?
Leonard.
Leonard Reinhardt.
Leonard Hecker.
Leonard Hecker.
Yes.
Leonard Hecker.
Yeah.
And did he grow up in that village too of München?
I think he did. He did, because he had to go to the army. He had to put 4 years. He was the youngest of his family, and he had to put in 4 years in the army.
Now, do you recall how old was your father? When was your father born? What year do you recall?
I wouldn't know, but my mother told me he was 26 when they got married.
Now, what was the name of your mother?
Mother was. Mary Eve Scherger.
Her maiden name was Scherger.
Scherger.
And they met in the village of München.
Of München. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall your grandparents, your folks?
I remember my dad's parents, and I vividly remember when they died, and so I remembered my mother's mother, not the dad. The dad died very young, her dad.
Right. What do you don't by chance remember the names of the grandparents?
My dad's father was George.
George Hecker. Hecker.
Uh-huh. And I don't know the mother's name.
The grandmother's name.
No. His last name, I don't.
What about for your mother's parents?
My mother's dad was John Scherger.
How do you spell that, Scherger?
S-C-H-E-E-R-G-E, Scherger.
And they grew up
They grew up in that village.
Right. The village had, of course, all German families.
All German people.
Do you remember by chance any of your neighbors?
Yes. There were some family by the name of Nuss. N-U-S-S, you know, Nuss. Mm-hmm. And then some family of Heck, H-E-C-K. They were all around there.
Did any other families of those families that lived in München come to America at the same time you did to North Dakota?
No. We were the last ones out from that village.
Why was that the case?
See, my dad was visiting in this country the year before.
What year would that have been about?
That's 1913. Mm-hmm. He was here 3 months. He had four brothers here around Dickinson, and they all got away from kind of going to the army, and they got married here. And so he was the youngest one in the family, so, but he had to stay home with his parents, you know, but he had to go to the army at the same time. And so after that, he just took a trip over to America to see his brothers. When he came back, he said, "We're going to have a great revolution." And they have started already, he said, in around Leningrad and Moscow there. And he said, "I'm going to get out. I'm not going to serve again." So that's what happened. He got away. But he and his two brothers out there in Europe, they had a big estate where they all three worked together at the farming. And each one hired his own hired help. And then they worked together, and they were out on this, stayed out on the farm. They hired all those people, and they had three ladies out there. Each one had a hired lady for cooking, to help cooking.
Now, was this near München?
This was, yeah, about 7 or 8 miles from München. It was between München and this other village there. It was a seaport too, Nikolai.
Well, how did they acquire all of this estate land?
I don't know, but they said the grandfather had a lot of sheep and all.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
So they had this estate.
My uncle, this uncle Louis, had his own private tutors for his children. He didn't send them to the regular school there. And I was supposed to go to high school. But the high school was in the next village. It wasn't too, you know, it was just in between. But I was booked to go to this private school for this young man that was teaching his children. He had about 5 or 6 children. And so, and he had his own schoolhouse, everything, his own teacher, he hired him. And he taught all the grades, whatever grades they were in, you know, in high school.
That's interesting. So they, your father came over to visit his brothers.
Yes.
So evidently the Hecker family was quite a large family.
Oh, I think there were 6 or 7 boys in my father's side.
And no girls?
2 girls.
So there were about 8 children.
Yeah, Teresa and Barbara.
And how many were in your family? How many brothers and sisters?
When we came across, there were 6 of us. No, 7. And then 2 of them were born in this country.
So 4, 5 of the children were born in München.
Yeah.
And you were?
The oldest.
You were the oldest. So there are some, how many are still living?
Well, there are only 3 of them dead, 3 boys. And I have a sister at the home, at this nursing home. She's going to be 89 Tuesday.
Now you have other brothers and sisters that were born in München that are here in North Dakota.
Yes, but they don't remember anything. One of them is 85 and the other one is 76, I think.
So they were too young at the age to remember.
Yeah, well, the one of them was born here, you know.
Right.
But they don't remember anything. And one of them is in Tacoma. He's about 83.
Now, the Hecker family in München, had quite a good life. Would you say they lived pretty good?
I think we did. We had hired help all year round.
Was the hired help for the farm?
For the farm, and then my mother had some ladies to help her. And in Worcester, she'd always have extra ladies come in. You know, everything was so primitive there. They had to rub the wash and do things like that. So they it took a lot of people to work.
Those people that came in to work, do you recall, were they other German ladies?
They were German. My mother always insisted on German ladies. But they, I don't know, she wanted the German ladies.
Your father was a farmer?
My father was a farmer.
What kind of crops did they raise?
Oh, they used wheat, barley, and oats, and they planted a lot of corn, and pumpkins. They fed the cows with pumpkins, chopped them all up, you know.
Oh.
And the seeds, I could get some of that seeds, and we wash them and put them in the oven. You know, we had those big brick ovens, you know.
Yes.
You could put 26 loaves in big.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, I've seen pictures of those.
Yeah, those brick ovens, and when the bread came out, they had no thermometers or anything. I don't know how they knew that, how much heat it needed. But anyway, when bread came out, we chop in some of those seeds or hams. We baked them. We never cooked the hams. We always covered them up with dough, mm-hmm. wrapped them in and baked them like that in the oven in the 2-3 hours.
So the farm had quite a few livestock.
Oh yeah, we only had about 5 or 6 cows, just enough milk mm-hmm. for the family. Mm-hmm. You couldn't sell anything like that, and butter, you know. But and the hogs, you know, in spring, my dad did not go out to raise hogs, but in spring he picked up in the market, a dozen at a time they were, but maybe a month or 2 months old. And then they were fed until fall, and they killed them. They had men for everything. Butcher would come in with his men and kill the hogs and make sausage, and they did all that.
Then did the sausage was for the winter months?
Yeah.
And where did they store the sausage?
Oh, they had a smokehouse. They had them smoke in there. And the hams too, but when they had they used to put those hams in brine, you know, in big barrels. Mm-hmm. And they took them out, you know, and then after they were smoking, they left them hanging there, and they occasionally make a little smoke again, you know. But they kept until summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And the bacon was smoked, and the hams. And the bacon, they didn't fry it like here. They cooked it, and then they took the skin off and let it cool off. Cold. Then they'd slice it. And those men would have rye bread, would eat rye bread and that bacon cooked, you know. That was their lunches in between.
Did they ever have like a root cellar?
Oh, we had a big root cellar. My dad had 2 vineyards, and so he had quite a...
Oh.
Then we had all our own wine, you know, barrels. And at a certain time when the grapes were cut, they brought them home to the village. You know, the vineyard was a little bit, maybe a mile out of town or two. And then they brought them in. And they made the wine right in the yard there. They had two men had to go around with the press, you know, press them out. And by the pails, they take them down, pick those big funnels on, filled up the barrels with that juice. And I noticed that my dad would put sugar in those barrels to make it work. And of course, then when there was a kind of a hole where that funnel was in, mm-hmm. when that stopped fermenting, you know, that was closed. And when it was time to put a spigot in the bottom, and you could get all the wine, you know. Yeah. It was my job. I was just a kid, you know, and I had to go down and fill those jugs with wine. And we had wine on the table all the time. So when we came to this country, my mother, we stayed with my uncle, and then they served water at table. She said, what kind of a habit have these people got that they have water, to drink water at table, you know? Because we didn't do that. So my uncle was on the other end of the table, and he said, yes, he said, here in America, we drink water because we haven't got the money to buy wine.
They couldn't raise it either in North Dakota.
No, North Dakota didn't.
Did they ever sell some of the wine, or just for the family?
No, they just used it for the family.
Just for the family.
Uh-huh. And I think some of those barrels were iron, if they emptied them all. But whenever it was time, you know, I tell them that it's empty, that they put another spigot in. They had great big barrels, you know.
So they had a lot of vineyards. What about watermelon?
Oh, now that's another thing. My folks did not go out for gardening stuff. He needs the people for our farm. But we buy the melons, big melons, 5 cents a piece. So the Russians, was a Russian village about right across the river. They come with wagon loads of melons, 5 cents a melon. So my mother used to tell them, go out, they go through the village and call melons, 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 you know. So my mother told me, go out and tell them to come in with that wagon, unload them. She only buy the whole load of melons.
Oh my.
But we had those hired people, you know. And so also the same thing with cucumbers. The next load, Russians come through with their cucumbers. And my mother would buy sometimes a whole load of that. And she hired ladies to put them up in barrels for pickles, you know.
Mm-hmm. A lot of canning.
Yeah, no canning. They didn't can anything.
They didn't?
No. And the cherries, that about 3 cents a pound, those big cherries, you know, they come through with those wagon loads too. So the people go out and buy, you know, they had a scale with them that they buy all that. Mm-hmm. And we used to put up cherries in those gallon jugs, and then put sugar on and set them on the sun. And the sun would melt the sugar and keep those cherries just perfect.
Mm.
We didn't have to cook them or anything. And then we used that juice for tea. We used a lot of tea. That you put juice in your tea, for cherry juice. When the juice was all gone, then they put vodka on there. On those cherries.
Oh, I see.
They put vodka on there and they serve it then as a cocktail, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice and red, you know.
It was very good too.
Oh, he almost killed my sister and my brother. I was the oldest one. They were sitting on the blanket, I got some of those cherries and fed them, you know. I think Elizabeth was only about a year old, and my brother John was about 3 years old. And I fed them those cherries, and they almost died. My mother stayed up all night.
Mm.
And she didn't know, she screamed, and the neighborhood came together. So the one man told her, they are drunk. He said, put them to bed.
Because you were too young to know, and you thought these cherries, they liked them.
I didn't eat any, I was feeding them. Yeah.
What other crops did they have? Sunflowers?
No.
It was sunflowers.
That's another thing. My folks would go to the market, to Nikolai, you know, or Odessa, and my mother would buy a whole gunny sack full, I suppose. I don't know. Big gunny sack full of those seeds. That's for the winter when they come home, then the ladies go together and for visiting, and they eat sunflower seeds, and you should have seen the floor.
So when they got together to visit, did you ever remember go with your mother?
Oh,
for visiting?
No, they come to our house.
They came to your house. What did they do? Just visit?
Sit there and visit and talk and eat those things. Once in a while, they brought knitting along or something, you know. Uh-huh. But I didn't think much was done, you know.
But the women ate a lot of sunflower
seeds.
Yeah,
they had a great time, you know.
And in North Dakota, they used to say they're eating those Russian seeds again.
Yeah, they thought it was terrible. And, you know, when I started my work in the hospital, during the war, the Americans couldn't figure out how those poor peasants could make a living during the winter months, because they didn't work and they had. And they found out that they were eating a lot of those sunflowers and those pumpkin seeds, and that kept them going. So they found out how wonderful they are, because they contain oil and protein. Mm-hmm. So they. And now everybody seems to eat them.
Right. And of course, that's very popular, soybeans and all kinds of things. And sunflowers are used a lot in North Dakota.
Yeah, and beans. Yeah, see, my dad always felt they haven't got time for those little things, so they bought everything. They bought the cabbage to make sauerkraut. And of course, it was very cheap, you know. Mm-hmm. But the cabbage and all that's.
Did your mother do a lot of cooking?
Well, we had two maids always, you know.
Uh-huh.
But she helped. She helped with the cooking. And then sometimes she had an extra girl yet for the babies to carry them around and fuss with them.
Did the cooking they did, was there a lot of dough used?
Well, I don't think so. Because it always felt that takes so much time. But they used to make those noodles, roll them out and then cut them, you know, to make those. And now here they make those knipple soup. I hate stuff like that. I wanted to cook all the time when I was small. And so the maids gave me some dough I could make. And I'd cook a little.
Uh-huh.
And when the ducks came home from the river was just about two blocks away.
What river was that? Black Sea?
Yeah. It's just a branch, you know.
I see.
Not the whole. You know. Uh-huh. And they come home and those ducks were hungry and the geese. My mother had geese and ducks all the time and chickens. And so that was my job. I used to cook this to make them fat real fast, you know. And you know, the Jews bought up all the geese and ducks, and they used that fat for their cooking. Because, you know, everything has to be kosher, you know. Mm-hmm. They didn't use any pork or anything like that. And so they always wanted those fat things. So that's the only thing my mother sold. She'd keep as many as she wanted, you know, and the rest she'd sell. On the market.
Mm-hmm.
They had a market, you know, they all went out. Every Thursday they had a market in summertime. And then the people would go up and buy their vegetables. I mean, I know some people had gardens around there, but we didn't. We'd buy the vegetables, bunches of beets and carrots and onions and whatever you wanted. And live chicken, they didn't kill those chicken or geese, they could buy on the market every Thursday. Mm-hmm. And hogs, they had hogs there to sell too.
You remember going to the market?
Yes, I do, and I used to like to go there.
Was this right in München?
No, 5 miles away.
In what village?
Between, it was a Russian village. And it was between Odessa and our place.
So
it's only about 5 or 6 miles from München.
So once a week, everybody would go to the market?
Yeah, whoever wanted. But people that raised their own didn't go, but my folks just took the wagon, went up and did the shopping, and then came home. And when my dad ran out of food, he used to take the food along to the farm, you know, for all these people. And then he'd go to Nikolai and pick up food. See, there was just in between.
Now, these people that worked for your father on the farmland, were they Germans?
No, they were Russians. Russians and Polish people. And, you know, that's one thing I went along when my dad was hiring people. My brother and I could go along. We're just little kids, you know. And they were all sitting on a grandstand. Just rows and rows, boys and girls, or men, or the hired people do it. And so my dad would walk back and forth and watch them, and then he'd point to certain ones to come down to. And I only said, they only paid him 85 rubles for about 3 months. That's all they paid those men. And I said, how come they pay so little? After we came to this country, I asked my father. He says, well, that's the way everybody did, you know. So those men would, for three months or for that money, and then when September 29th was the day they all left the villages, the Russians, and they'd go in rows just like soldiers, you know, go through the village to the next village to take the train about 40 miles away.
Oh, so they would come in the spring only?
They come only spring, you know. And then, we had the ladies, German ladies, we hired them any time or whenever mother needs somebody else.
Now, how did your father communicate with these hired men?
Russian.
So your father did know Russian?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, because he was in the army too.
Oh, yes.
Years, mm-hmm. Russian. And but we were not, we kids, we couldn't go close to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't.
Now, where did these hired people stay?
Out on the farm, on that big estate. They had a big farm, they all stayed there. Sundays, I often thought, they never went to church, those poor people. They stayed there Sundays. Well, they didn't work. My dad would come home. Saturday nights he would come home, and on Sunday nights he would go back again with all the food what he needed for the week.
So he would stay out there all week then?
Yeah, he'd stay out there all week. He and my other uncle, and my uncle Louie, he was the oldest one. Well, he'd just drive around with his carriage and check, you know. So, but they had a good farming business there.
Did they have a lot of horses?
They had a lot of horses. But we had a couple barns, you know. And the barns were all built with stone. It cut them nice, not like they do here. They were cut. And one of them was almost finished, another barn he put up. And they had those red tiles, you know, for the roof. And then put, you know, so you could catch rainwater if you want to and stuff. We had a cistern in the yard and a big well in the yard. And everybody else did. Those yards were all together, you know, always a wall, a stone wall in between. And some of them had it so that one well in between so they could, two farmers could have water for their cattle if they wanted to.
Out in the farmland?
Hmm?
This was out in the farmland or in the city?
No, in the city, in the village.
In the village.
They had men there working, take out the cattle in the morning, the cows, cow herd, we call it. All at once, he came to the village, you know, take the cattle out. And then the next came the horse. Take the horses out for grazing. That was every morning in summertime. And of course in fall, I don't know what they did with all, I suppose, I know our cattle was always in the barns, you know. I mean horses, we didn't have too many in town where we lived in that. But they kept them always and they fed them all winter long. They didn't turn them out like here at the cows either.
So each day they would bring in the cattle and the horses?
Yeah. Usually an old grandpa and a little boy would bring them in. And if it rained hard during the day, they'd come any time of the day.
So there was a lot of livestock running around in the village.
Yeah. And of course, the streets were very wide, you know, they were laid out, you know. See, the Russians had them, laid them out. And my mother told us, my grandfather had the first house, started the first house building. See, the government built them some, helped them with some money when they came in, great-grandpa. And so they, each one had the house, and they had big yards. I think at least an acre or so, it was long, you know. And that's why some people had big gardens in the back. My folks didn't want that. Mm-hmm. Because they thought, hire these people, then there's enough, they can't buy, and it's, food was cheap, you know.
Now, the village of Nuchin, did it have a bazaar?
Bazaar?
Yeah.
No. That was when we go into the market, 6 miles away.
So there were no stores or anything in.
Oh yeah, we had a store, we had a butcher shop which the Jews were running, but you only could buy veal or lamb. Nothing else, you know. Mm-hmm. But everybody did their own butchering and mm-hmm. and had their own chickens and so. So I don't. If they had too many, some people sold some. Mm-hmm. My mother never sold any chickens or anything, but some of the geese, you know. They got a good price. They got about 3 rubles for one big goose, you know.
Now your mother raised the children alone a lot of the time.
Oh, she was practically alone all the time, but especially in summertime. That's why she had to have help. In the house, you know.
Now, as fall came, and of course they did the butchering and everything, winter was a little more quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they took it easy, the people, because there were no TVs, no telephones, no electricity of any kind. It was that primitive, you know. And so all they did, the men go together and play cards by the hours, you know.
What did they play? Do you remember what kind of games?
I really don't know. I never played with them. But my mother used to be so disgusted. She said, "Put my go out and go to the neighbor." She said, "I don't want those guys to come in and smoke."
Uh huh.
She didn't want that smoke. Her curtains get.
So what did the women come along too?
Well, yeah, the women would come along. And they'd sit together in a ring and talk.
And then they eat their sunflower seeds?
Yeah, with sunflower seeds.
But the men?
And the men, they had wine on the table uh-huh. and smoked and played cards.
So the men would not eat as many sunflower seeds as the women?
Oh, no, they didn't bother with them.
So at the end of the card playing and so forth, did they ever make some food then?
Once in a while. If it was a name day or something like that, they observed name days, not birthdays out there.
Name days are very important.
Oh, yeah.
What did they serve on a name day?
Oh, they usually had potato salad and ham and wine. You could get beer, too, but they didn't go. We had a beer parlor right there in town, too, but you could not drink in the... There, you had to buy your beer and go home.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But it was a beautiful, nice floor and everything nice and bottles all over. You come in and ask for it, and he hand you over whatever you ask for, and you pay for it. You know. Then, but you had to take it home. So there was no way of the men going in there to drinking. They had to take it home. they had a party while that day that was there.
So we talked about name states are real important. What about the other holidays? What do you recall at Christmas?
That was a great feast. You know, nobody worked, not even my folks. No washing was done until after the 6th of this of January, because then the feasts were over. But there was one party after the other. They'd go from place to place, you know, and have a party.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, sometimes they start dancing, you know. We had a great big room, you know. They start, my dad played the accordion.
Well, your father played the accordion.
And they had a few dances, friends that come in. You didn't invite anybody. They came by themselves.
Mm-hmm. This was for Christmas, but before Christmas, they do a lot of baking like they do today.
Oh, they did a lot of baking. I still remember they made Zuckerkuchen, you know, you know, and just stacks of them. And up in the attic, we had a big trunk lined with tin. And there was stored all this, the fancy bread, the Zuckerkuchen, and all that stuff. And I had to go up and get it sometimes. Once in a while, I had to count, see how much there's left. By the time those feasts were over, everything was gone. Mm-hmm. Because they used it for parties and for everything.
Uh-huh.
And cookies, they didn't bake many cookies, you know, with those ovens, you know. But we could buy very nice cookies there in the store.
Now this oven, was it outside or inside?
Inside, we had a great big kitchen. They didn't cook in the house for our help. That was an extra kitchen. And there they had that big stove right in the kitchen. It took an awful big space, you know, that big oven. And of course that was heated for baking extra bread, you know. But we also had a smaller oven, but it was in a place where it was covered, you couldn't see it. When you come in the kitchen, it was extended to another room. And that oven only held about 6 to 8 loaves of bread, you know. But they used it for cooking more, for instance. In wintertime, they cooked sauerkraut and pork, you know. And everything was in the oven, you know. Or big kettle with soup, put it in there. You didn't see a thing on the stove. I know I come home from school and say, will we have anything to eat?
Talking about soups, what kind of soups did they make?
That's bean soup. Bean soup and noodle soup. Noodle soup was the Sunday dish, you know.
Uh-huh.
And of course they used potato soup, peas, you know, the striped peas, with ham in.
Mm-hmm.
They used the bones from the hams, you know, and cooked that.
What about vegetable soup?
Oh, they made a borscht, you know, they made it good.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the Russians, you know, the real Russians made borscht with cabbage and beets, and it's clear. And the Germans had all different kinds of vegetables and put cream in the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they put tomatoes in and cream and everything. And that's what makes it good. And they cook a big kettle full if there was enough left for the next day, well, then they use it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that was the main dish, really, amongst us, the German people, but they made their own, not like the Russians did.
As far as borscht is concerned,
yeah.
Vegetable soup.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Christmas again. And you were 13, so you must have some memories of, like, Christmas Eve.
Oh yes, we had midnight mass those days.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the churches were not heated out there. They had no heating system in any church, next village or wherever you went. They had those big churches. But people came, because the children are supposed to be we to go to bed, you know. And at Christmas evening, the Christkindchen came. It was a girl dressed up in all veiled with veils, you know, and ribbons all over. And she come in and they wrapped, you know, if Christkindchen could come in to the house. And my dad would say, yes, they should come in. And here they came. And you know, after I caught on, I was older, you know, my mother would stand back and she had those baskets all ready for each kid, you know. And she'd handed them in. And then the Christkindchen would ask if you were good, if you were a good girl and so on. And then she handed them the things. And then afterwards, they had another thing going on. The men would dress up. One of them was a tailor, and one of them was a beast, like an ox or something. He had horns and to put those big fur coats over them, you know, to walk around, you know. And they dance and they had all kinds of fun, you know. My mother, I think I only had them twice or three times in our, as long as I remember. My mother wouldn't have, because they, you know, they make everything so dirty to come from the snow, you know, come to the house and get the floor dirty. She didn't want it, you know. But they always asked if you could come in. And then the mother would have a dish full of goodies, nuts and peanuts and apples and stuff for those people. That's why they went from house to house. The young folks, and they got that, you know. So it was just a hilarious time all the way through.
So the Christmas Eve included then having going to midnight mass.
Yeah.
Did the children go too? They stayed home.
Oh no, we went to bed, you know. But when I got a little older, I could go alone, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they came home, there was the ham on the table and the big knife, and everybody had start eating again. And at Christmas night, they had a brass band playing in church on the balcony and singing, you know. They had lanterns hanging all around. See, our church had a big, heavy wall around in the parish house, and they had all those lanterns so you could go, because there was no electricity, they had, and so those trees were all hanging up with those kerosene lanterns so you could go to church. And of course they practiced with singing around. They had all the German singing. They had their choir master, you know, who did taught the people to sing. And then in the next day they had high mass again, you know, mm-hmm. just like they did it in this country.
Did you do a lot of singing?
Cleaning?
Singing.
In school, German. We had a couple Russian songs. We had, soon as we got to school, we had to sing a Russian song, God Bless the Tsar, the Kaiser, you know.
Uh-huh.
That was in Russian. And then we had to pray for the Kaiser. Was there? And then the next subject was tables in Russian. But you see, your tables makes no difference whether it's English or German or Russian, it's the same thing. But we had to memorize all those things. And then we had reading and arithmetic, history and geography, about different things, and about Russia, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still remember that when our teacher would say about the Chinese, you know, the Chinese and the Russians were always arch enemies, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, the Chinese are the bees. The chaps, they were so underhand working. You know, in 1906, this this they sang the whole fleet of Russia, the Czechs, 1906, that's when they had war with the Czechs. And of course they don't forget that, you know. And of course there was always a skirmish between in the borderline with the Chinese, you know. Mm-hmm. So already there they got that start, you know, against nations, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, and then the Russians, they would say, the Germans would say, the Russian is the bear, he's so toppy, you know. Uh-huh.
The Christmas time was very important to a family, like a Catholic family.
Yes, everybody stopped working and said, go to church in the morning, go to church, and then loiter around all day, because there wasn't much work, you know. There was nothing else to do except playing cards or something.
Mm-hmm. And then they would celebrate New Year's too?
Oh, New Year's too. To celebrate New Year's. They usually had the dances, you know. They had the dance till New Year's, you know. And when the priest heard about it, oh, he was awful put out about it.
He didn't like this.
Yeah,
people
he said that to dance, you know, for the instead of praying, he said they're dancing. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna be punished someday, and it's cold in Germany.
Uh-huh. What was the name of the priest, do you remember?
His name was Wolf, Father Wolf. He was a boy from the old colonists that came over. See, we called them the old colonists because they were the first ones to move in. Mm-hmm. Like these people in Hague.
Yes.
These old, you can tell them, I can tell what part they came from, because when they talk, they have that dialect, you know. And then they had to do that, you know. But they enjoy them, their dances. It's just in their homes, you know. I mean, they didn't go and have a big. In fact, we didn't have a place only the school. We didn't have a hall to dance or do this. Mm-hmm. So when they have weddings, you know, then they put up an extra floor for dancing.
Was the weddings pretty big?
Oh yeah, 3 days.
Mm.
My uncle, Louis, that oldest one, when his daughter got married, they had 3 days wedding. And they had about 20 girls as bridesmaids.
20 girls as
yeah,
bridesmaids?
Yeah, all dressed up. And boys too, with big sash on here.